This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. The lure of professional sports teams has often been irresistible to municipal leaders. It's very easy to imagine a stadium filled with happy fans spending money and spreading civic pride. It was with that vision that Hartford Mayor Pedro Segarra announced that his city would be building a new ballpark for the AA New Britain Rockcats, luring a team to the vacant wasteland of parking lots in a part of the city known as Downtown North.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
It's been submitted to the council for their approval. There's a resolution that's on board, and I think that there's uniform consensus on our council that this is something good for the city, so we're looking towards opening day.
That was Mayor Segarra talking to WFSB's Face the State. It seems, though, that the new ballpark, planned to be built with up to $60 million in borrowed money, is not a done deal, at least according to City Council President Sean Wooden, who says he wants to protect taxpayers and take a closer look at the plan. The plan faces opposition from a number of fronts, including advocates for a downtown supermarket and a long-debated mixed-use development in that part of town. And, of course, from New Britain officials who expressed shock at the year-and-a-half secret negotiations between the ball club and Hartford. Today, Where We Live, the ongoing story of bringing baseball to the capital city, what it means to Hartford and what it means to the region and the state. In an age of increased talk about regional planning, does big investment in sports franchises moving down the street make a lot of sense? We want to hear from you. 860-275-7266. You can comment on our website, WNPR.org. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, at Where We Live. Joining us in studio today is Pedro Segarra. He is the mayor of Hartford. Mayor, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me again.
I also want to welcome in Sean Wooden, who's president of the Hartford City Council. He's also in the August 12th primary for the Democratic nomination for the 2nd Senate District. Thank you so much for coming in, sir.
Good morning.
And also welcome to Tom Deller. Thomas is director of the Department of Developmental Services for the City of Hartford. He's joined us to talk about this in the past on the phone, but it's good to see you in person, Tom. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, John.
And I want to welcome in Jeff Cohen. He's WNPR's reporter who's been following the story just about as closely as anyone. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Hi, John.
Why don't you give us a little update as to where we are right now? Not everyone in our listening area has been following this story as closely as perhaps we have. We live figuratively in Hartford. We work here, and we care an awful lot about the city. So we've been paying very close attention, not just to this development plan, but to many of the development plans that have been proposed for the city over the course of the last 10, 20 years. So you're looking at this very closely. What can you tell us right now?
So let's go real big picture, right? This is a part of the city that has long been isolated from the rest of the city by I-84. This is that part of Hartford just north of I-84, just west of I-91. A lot of surface parking lots, not a lot of development. The most recent big deal that we've heard of from that area is a few years ago was the demolition of something that we all called the Bud Ugly Building. So we're not talking about a part of town that necessarily has seen a lot of positive investment as of late. It's a lot of surface parking lots. So there's been an effort on the city of this administration and in prior administrations to develop that part of town. Mayor Segarra a few weeks ago announced a deal with the Rockcats of New Britain to take a long vacant parcel there, one of three parcels in that area, and turn it into a minor league ballpark for the Rockcats for baseball, correct me if I'm wrong, from April of 2016. A lot of details to be worked out. The big number that we heard was $60 million. As I understand it, that was a pledge by those on the city council to borrow no more than $60 million. It doesn't necessarily mean it would be a $60 million stadium. And then the numbers have come back and forth. Since then, the plan is before the council, the city council. The city council has its own process before it approves any money that it will borrow. And that involves various committees. Meanwhile, the council has this week approved the hiring of its own consultant to help it figure out all of these complicated questions, like is a ballpark good for development? Do ballparks spur economic development? Are they good for communities? And the city most recently has gone out to bid to find essentially an owner's representative and an architect. So that's sort of where we are. The last thing I would say is that Council President Wooden, who joins us today, has said this will only really happen with private investment, which is something different than what the mayor initially proposed, at least is what we heard on the first day. And you're shaking your head, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. So, and that's where we are now.
Okay, so let's turn to Mayor Segarra. And again, if you want to join us, 860-275-7266. Has anything about the deal that you announced, Mayor, changed since then?
The deal that I announced in response to a question whether we had the Rockettes on board to come to the city, was it's a done deal. There was a handshake. There was a preliminary agreement that was entered into between myself and the Rock Cats, basically acknowledging their willingness to come to the city and our wanting to have them here. I have been very clear from the beginning that all of the construction and the actual building of the stadium is subject to council approval. But I went into this with the understanding that I needed to get some commitment from council that we had a ceiling, and that ceiling is $60 million of money that is necessary in order to construct the stadium. But I also was very clear, and in the resolution that was provided, that there would be other potential financing options for the stadium. So we started with a cap of $60 million potentially investment. And now as we go through a process, which I very clearly said there is a process, it requires council approval, which means that the legislative branch gets to chime in and have all their concerns vetted, as they should. This is there's two branches of government in Hartford. There's an executive and there's a legislative that we are now in the process of exploring and trying to provide more definition in order to meet all the different competing concerns about this. The bottom line is that my responsibility as mayor is to ensure that our city succeeds. And in ensuring that our city succeeds, we have been doing a series of projects in order to have our city succeed. We want to be able to connect downtown North with the city of Hartford. We want downtown North to be a resource to the north end of the city of Hartford, which has high levels of unemployment. We want to make sure that in conjunction with everything else that we're doing with UConn, with Front Street, with the Intermodal Transportation Triangle Project, with the Albany Avenue Street upgrades and streetscape, everything that we are doing, that we focus on several areas that need to come together: employment, educational opportunity, housing opportunity, and having sufficient number of venues, including restaurants, arts, and culture, to create a vibrant city.
So, and I think over the course of the hour, and you've all been good enough to give us the hour so that we can talk through some of these things, I think we'll talk about how this may or may not create jobs for the city, economic development, that sort of thing. But just as we get back to the deal, and certainly, Jeff, you've been following this more closely than I, and you can jump in on this. I just want to make sure I understand. If you've set a cap of how much the city could potentially borrow, it's $60 million, and you're seeking a board approval, and we're going to talk to Council President Sean Wooden in just a moment about what the board might need to see. Obviously, you've had some good overtures from them so far. They want to look at this proposal. Whenever a city decides to do something like a big development, like a ballpark, there's almost always some private investment that has been secured going in, because obviously in a city like Hartford, where you've struggled with finances in recent years, you probably don't want to go and borrow $60 million if you don't have to. When you go out and say, we're going to borrow $60 million, it seems to me, I'm not an expert in development like Tom Deller, that it may be then hard to attract the type of private investment you would need to get this done if you've already said, we're going to build a city asset, we're willing to borrow money to do it. Whoever invests in it isn't going to own a piece of it. It's going to be a city ballpark. What's the incentive for any private development to come forward in this plan at all?
Well, there's obviously our incentives, because we've had developers, multiple developers that have approached us. But more importantly, we've had an opportunity from my office, Mr. Tom Deller, to have conversation with council president, with council members and other leaders regarding the issue that if we could do this for less than the cap of $60 million borrowed money, that we will do that. And we've done exactly that. Over the past couple of weeks, we have engaged in very serious conversations with the council president, Mr. Wooden, with other individuals, our development staff, about the interest that has been expressed and our interest in making sure that we can get this accomplished without unduly burdening our taxpayers. So where we are now is that within a week's time, based on the responses that we've gotten from the private sector in terms of interest with being partners, to solicit proposals for a public-private partnership that will afford us the opportunity to do what everyone really wants us to do, to have a stadium, to have that stadium built with private participation, lessen the burden on the taxpayers. This will allow us to not only build the stadium and at the same time create the jobs that we've been talking about, but also do it in a way that meets the different interests of different sectors in the community.
What sort of – I just want to quickly ask – go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead. I was going to say that's a pretty big change. I mean, as we've understood it, as we've not – well, you're shaking your head. As we've understood it, broadly speaking, of the $60 million, 40 or so could have been gone out to – could have been borrowed. Another 15 or 20 could have been repurposed from existing city funds. That's how the math has been presented to us as in the documents that we have. So in your mind, what does this now mean?
What this now means is that we are exploring opportunities that are more beneficial for us in construction of the stadium. Look, I was very clear from the beginning that what we did required the agreement of council. This is a process. We've not built a stadium in the city, a baseball stadium in the city for quite a while. I don't even remember when was the last time. Probably the 1920s or 30s. I've not ever before constructed a stadium or engaged in negotiations for a team. Some things we learn as we go along. The important thing is that we keep the momentum going, that we do this in a way that is – if we could find tomorrow opportunities that are more beneficial, we should not preclude them. So the fact that we started – with a certain plan of how we were going to finance this, if we could move towards a point of getting it done in a more economical basis on terms that are more convenient and better for our taxpayers' community, then we should and meet the concerns of council president and the council and others. I have no objections in putting it out for request for proposals to do a private public partnership.
We're talking with Mayor Pedro Segarra. He's the mayor of the city of Hartford, and we're talking about a plan to build a minor league baseball stadium in the city, something a lot of people have questions about. We'll get to your questions at 860-275-7266. We're also joined by the president of the Hartford City Council, Sean Wooden. I know you wanted to jump in. Maybe you could just pick up on what the mayor is saying.
Sure. So first of all, let's take a step back because I think we forget what this is about. So for the council and for a lot of us, this is about economic development. This is about creating jobs. This is about building our tax base, right? 51% of our land is tax exempt currently. This is about changing that so that we can actually increase revenues to the city. In terms of this proposal, we talk so much about baseball. You know, the truth is, you know, I'm not a big baseball fan at all. Right. This is not about baseball to me. This is about jobs, economic development. And even as we look at the stadium proposal, the interest I have in exploring this is about the development of downtown North, which is much larger than a baseball team, than a stadium proposal. And so even as we talk about private investment and moving forward, it's not about building a baseball stadium. It's about building an area of our city that's been a wasteland for two decades.
A bit later on in the program, I think we'll delve in a little deeper to one plan that I know has been in the works in the city for quite some time, the attempt to bring some sort of shopping, some sort of supermarket shopping to any part of downtown, maybe even this part of downtown. There have also been a number of other plans and proposals for downtown North. And again, for people who don't know the city so well, this is this wasteland area that Jeff was talking about. You can see it from I-84. I-84 cuts off the north end from the rest of the city. This has been a long-standing problem for the city, for the economic future of the north end. Any development idea, I think not just for Hartford but for the entire state, that would bring some sort of life and livelihood to that area is probably a good thing. But considering all this, is a baseball stadium the right plan compared to other economic development opportunities that you've seen, Council President? And secondarily, the mayor is now talking about a mix of public and private funding. What's that mix that would look good to you so that you could sign off on this?
Sure. So firstly, appropriate question. Is this an appropriate plan for economic development? I think it might be. And that's why we're excited to continue to explore it. That's why many of us on council said, hey, we think this could be something great for the city. Let's bring it through the process. Let's vet it. Let's kick the tires. And so that's what we're doing. In terms of the plans, let's be honest here. Over the last 10 years, I mean, we've had some ideas, but in terms of something that's as real as this, we don't have a lot of ideas or something that's concrete. We don't have a lot of teams saying, hey, I want to move into Hartford. And so this is absolutely something that we've got to explore. I'm not a baseball stadium expert. Most of us in City Hall aren't, right? But it's something that's attractive. We want an anchor, right? The same reason we were interested, many of us, in moving UConn into that downtown north area is the same reason that many of us are interested in the potential of a baseball stadium and the additional economic spinoff that can occur. That's why we're hiring a consultant. That's why we're doing as much work now to vet this. Is this in, and I want to come back to, we were talking about the money earlier. You know, the $60 million, you know, and I've been very clear about this, and anything you hear on the council, that's not going to be the number that our city borrows for it. Even the resolution that the mayor put forward says, and or other financing sources. That is absolutely the case in terms of a public-private partnership, and this will be, in order for it to proceed, this will be larger than a baseball stadium.
So at the risk of getting too technical,
it's public radio, so just feel free.
I only own my house, yeah. Right? I've not owned lots of property. I've never developed anything. I don't know really what you mean when you say public private partnership. As I understood it, the stadium as we've spoken about it, as you've described it, would be a city owned asset that would then be leased to a team. What's different now?
Well, what's different?
What's different in a public-private partnership?
It's the clarity of the private, right? And I think that's what's been missing from this discussion from day one. That's what I attempted to clarify when I said, in order to move forward, we will need private financing, and it's the private sector working with the public sector to produce a public benefit.
So let's attempt to get more clarity on the private. Are the New Britain Rockettes going to bring more money to the table in order to make this happen? Is that what we're talking about? Will the team itself invest a certain amount of millions of dollars to build the stadium?
There are different models of private-public partnerships,
yes.
Probably over a dozen or more different models. I'll defer to Tom Deller as to what makes more practical sense when you're talking about a stadium. But I think the bottom line is, how do you trap private dollars as opposed to public dollars to actually get the stadium constructed and diminish the impact that it has upon taxpayers, so that there is not any fears that what we're trying to do here is actually to generate more development, to be able to have more taxes being paid into our fiscal coffers, not to continue to burden our taxpayers. That's contrary to what I'm trying
to do.
Obviously, yes. So Tom perhaps can explain. We've had some preliminary discussions on the different models. We're in the process of crafting now the RFP, and it's going to address some critical points that need to be addressed in the public-private venture.
Hey, and Tom Diller, if you'd like to, maybe you can explain some of that before, because we're going to take a break later and come back to some more phone calls. But please, go ahead.
But I think the issue about public-private partnership isn't about the development of the ballpark. It's about the development of the downtown north area.
Sure.
This is about the opportunity for other development to happen. So when we look at a public-private partnership, it's how do we get the housing built? How do we get the retail built? How do we get the ballpark built in a way that makes economic sense? So in a sense, we're transferring the burden of borrowing the money for the ballpark from the city to a private entity. They do that investment. We figure out a way through the other development that happens that debt gets paid, that it turns out as an asset to the city. There are any number of models, as the mayor mentioned, that we could use. And what we're going to do is we're going to seek proposals from developers that say, hey, give us your best proposal. We'll analyze it. And I got to tell you, as the mayor mentioned, since we've announced this, our phone lines have been burning down. We've had people knocking on the doors with ideas and approaches, and we're trying to figure out the best ones.
Tom, is this the kind of request for proposals where you don't say exactly what it is you're looking for because you're hoping for the respondents to be creative? Because you're sort of dancing around. I think John would like to, and I would like to sort of nail down. I don't know what public-private is.
I'd like to address that. Right. In terms of private, there are many ways to privately finance a project. Right. And so this desire to nail down which model. Let me just respond, Jeff. The important thing for me as council president is the commitment that I've made to taxpayers of this city to not increase their tax burden. Right. So if we get four different models of how to do that, we need to explore them all to see what's in the best interest of the city. So the model, from my perspective, is less important than the commitment that we don't spend $60 million of city taxpayer dollars to get it done.
So, and I'll just add on to that, Jeff. I think that this request is really about the vision of what we're trying to achieve. And here's the land. There's a ballpark as part of this. There's housing as part of this. There's retail as part of this. There's a supermarket as part of this. We want you. This is what we want. This is the property we own. Here's the information that we need from you, and we need you to tell us how you're going to structure it. And then we sit down and analyze it and think about which is the best model. Is it this one? Is it this one? Is it this one? We work with the council and make that decision.
And
is,
I want to –
Mr. Rick, can I just ask, is that sure. all of the land in this area? Because, again, we've just been talking prior to this about this one parcel, about this – granted, you might have been having other discussions, but legally speaking, when we're talking at the resolutions, we're talking about borrowing for a ballpark on this one parcel. Will the RFP look more broadly than that? Is that what you're saying? Will
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, this is not a decision that I quickly have made. I've been visiting other cities. I just had the U.S. Conference of Mayors at which I spoke to over 12 mayors from different cities similar to ours that have undertaken this investment, that have achieved development. The mayor of Dayton, Ohio, Mayor Wiley, the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, the mayors of Greensboro, South Carolina. There's a lot of other cities that have done this. Now, I know that many in our community don't get the opportunity to travel to other places where stadiums have been built to observe the stadium and the follow the development that has followed. But this has been tried successfully and has been done successfully in many other cities.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, a lot of people want to join us at 860-275-7266. We're meeting with officials from the city of Hartford. Pedro Segarra is the mayor. Sean Wooden is the president of city council. Tom Deller is the head of development in the city. Jeff Cohen, WNPR's reporter, who's been covering this story very closely, is with us as well. You can lend your voices. You can also tweet us at Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Hope you can join me tonight at 6 p.m. for one of the more fun events of every year as I host WorldQuest 2014, sponsored by the World Affairs Council of Connecticut. It starts at 6 o'clock, and for the first time, it's being held at Hartford's historic Polish National Home, which means pierogies and beer. What is it? It's a fast-paced global trivia contest, so if you're the type who's always telling everyone how much you know about geography and world politics, you can compete either with a team or you can come by yourself. You can find out more at our Where We Live Facebook page, and I hope you see you tonight at the Polish National Home in Hartford. We are talking a bit about Hartford today on the program. Pedro Segarra, who's the mayor of the city, Sean Wooden, who's the city council president, and Tom Deller, who's the director of development, are all here to talk about a plan to develop a part of downtown North, it's called, the north end of Hartford, to build a new minor league baseball stadium and perhaps more. We're looking at some of the details with Jeff Cohen, who's a WNPR reporter who's covering this very closely. Let's get to a bunch of phone calls because people want to join us here. Thomas is in Granby. Hey, Thomas.
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, John. I just wanted to, I guess, thank the mayor and the councilor for being on the program today and, I guess, express some concern. I generally think that a baseball stadium could be a good driver for rebuilding the north end of Hartford. But when looking at the statistics that were presented, when this project was first announced, there are some things that seem relatively questionable. One thing that particularly I noticed was the fact that it was suggested that I think 10% of all people attending a minor league baseball game would be staying in Hartford hotels overnight. And I found that in particular to be quite ambitious. And also, I just wanted to maybe ask the two of them to continue to reflect on the fact that the grocery store that was being proposed for the North End may be precluded by this baseball stadium development. I think that is much more important for development in the North End than a baseball stadium, personally.
Hey, Thomas, thank you very much for the phone call. And we're going to actually get to this question of a supermarket in just a moment. But I'm wondering, I'll ask you first, Mayor, because I think we got a chance to talk to Tom Deller about this already in the program, about some of the statistics that ended up there, including this 10% number about how many people are going to be staying downtown at hotels. We did a fairly exhaustive analysis of this, at least as best we could. And it seems clear that even on the best, biggest night of any event in Hartford's history, you don't get close to that sort of number. So why were those numbers that Thomas mentioned in this proposal?
I'll defer to Thomas. But, you know, one of the things that I want to make very clear is that one cannot divorce the stadium from a lot of the other development that is going on downtown. What does baseball in downtown Hartford mean to the convention centers and to the activities that they're having? What does it mean to the other venues in terms of that activity? I could let Tom respond to the issue of the actual numbers. The other issue, which we'll get later, which is very important, is the supermarket. And we've had a lot of inquiries from different operators about having a supermarket in that area. And it is not only something that we want. It will be a mayoral priority that any plan that gets submitted forward includes a supermarket as part of the package.
Thomas Deller, just quickly, I know we've talked about this before, the numbers on hotel stays, how much economic development it's going to create as far as people staying overnight to see minor league baseball.
You have to realize that, John, that these numbers are generated by a computer model, the RIMS model, that is developed by the federal government about direct and indirect results as a result of development. So what happens is taking an analysis, they use standards, averages across the country and come up with a number that isn't necessarily 100% accurate for each market, but it is a way to analyze a job. I have debated with our consultants about the hotel nights. They feel comfortable that overall that those types of numbers could be reached. But if you look at the averages, there are communities
that
are
lower. I could also
be
an astronaut who goes to the moon. I mean, just to be completely honest with you, those numbers aren't realistic in any way, shape, or form. I think we both know that.
I disagree with the hotel numbers, and I've argued that with our consultant. Yeah. But it is a model. But I look at the job numbers, and I've looked at stadiums in other parts of the country. And some of those stadiums have higher numbers, and some have lower numbers. And we're talking about direct and indirect. I think the hotel numbers are inflated.
I have to ask Sean Wooden something, because I haven't gotten a chance to ask you about this. Because here's why I think the numbers that are presented are important. When you and the mayor and everyone else comes out and says, this is something that the city really wants to do, you want to look more closely at the numbers. But the numbers that are presented present a very rosy picture. They present a number of people staying at hotels that seems to not be realistic. Mm-hmm. Even the city's development director says they're probably not realistic. They present a number in terms of full-time jobs that would come with this, something like 300 jobs full-time or up to a couple hundred jobs full-time, when we know that a minor league baseball team employs 20 to 25 people tops. These are the numbers, along with the $60 million number that, mm-hmm. that we see, that are presented at first to the people of Hartford and to the region, that suggest that perhaps this plan isn't as well thought through as it could be, given the fact that the numbers don't really jive with what we'll call objective reality. What's your take on that?
My take on it is that I'm not an expert, and that's why we need a process. We have a process through the council, various committees, public hearings. We're hiring a consultant of our own, and that's exactly the types of questions as a city council that we have to be asking. And in order to move forward with the project, right, we have to make sure that the benefits are real, right, on the front end, that there are enough tangible, real benefits, and that we can pay for it in a way, right, to create those benefits in a way that doesn't unduly burden our taxpayers. And so I don't have a problem with the critique of the numbers. We've got our own critique. We'll, like I said, we'll kick the tires and we'll engage in it.
So you'll have a consultant and the city has a consultant, both separately looking at this?
Yeah, I think it's important to our process for the city council to take a step back from, you know, and to ask those same questions. And that's what we're doing.
But I have to say, John, that no one in any of our reports did we say there's 400 full-time jobs at the stadium. We said 25 to 30 full-time jobs with a series of seasonal jobs. This is both direct and indirect. Some of those full-time jobs are a result of the other development that happens around the stadium, the ballpark, because this ballpark happened. This is the economic development.
But go ahead, Jeff.
Well, so what you did say was 665 jobs, and you're talking about development around the park, and that's all based on an annual attendance number, which is 7,000 people per game, roughly, which is, you could argue, I would argue, also inflated. If the Rockettes now are average, I mean, it might be aspirational. It might be wonderful, but no team in the Eastern League gets those numbers.
But I think, Jeff, if you go back and look at our numbers really say the first season is around 7,000, that we are using if my memory is correct, about 4,500, 5,000 on average after the first season. We're not going to that number. And I think the numbers actually talk on average about 450 to 500,000 people a year once the team is there for a while.
I know Mayor Segarra wanted to jump in.
I think that, you know, I'm an optimist. I like to be an optimist. I think that if I were not optimistic about our city and the future of our city, some of the things that are going on in our city would not be happening. So although I don't want to take full credit for that, I think that optimism has to play a role in this. And I think when I look at other cities, such as Dayton, Ohio, in which they've sold out the last 15 seasons consecutively, they hold the record. I would like to enter into competitions like Dayton. I would like to enter into competitions with a city like Louisville and other cities that have done this successfully. We need to start changing some of the climate and look for things for try to focus on the positive aspects.
But I think what I'm trying to get at, and the reason why the numbers to people like Jeff, myself, are very important, in part because, you know, a plan like this that gets negotiated behind closed doors, as we have reported on the program before. Again, this was a result of many months, more than a year of secret negotiations between you and the New Britain Rockhats. There wasn't a whole lot of information for the public. Right. We couldn't see it. We didn't know what was going on. And so now we have the numbers. Right. When the numbers are optimistic, that's one thing. But when the numbers can't really jive with anything that is close to reality, we talk about 600 jobs being created, ancillary jobs around this. When the only development project on the plan right now is a ballpark, not restaurants and bars, not a downtown supermarket. How do we arrive at a number of 600-some jobs when what we're doing is building a ballpark for a certain amount of money?
Before the ballpark was on the table,
yes,
I charged my director of development services with the task of having consultants come in to develop Downtown North, the Dono plan. The Dono plan is a lot more comprehensive than just the stadium. Because now we have injected the stadium into the Dono plans to accelerate development does not preclude or deny the existence of a plan for Downtown North. We need to be very conscious that this is not just about a stadium, that this is about an entire area that we are seeking to develop.
And Mayor, if I may, that last point, this is not about a stadium. Unfortunately, the media interest in the Rockhats has eclipsed everything else in terms of development.
When you hold a big press conference and you say the ballpark's coming, that's why the media interest is here. That's why that happens.
I disagree. In this sense, the plans, the fact that most people, and I got to believe you're aware of the extensive planning process, the schematics, right?
Yes.
And so there has been an extensive plan for developing Downtown North with pictures, with housing, a lot of things.
Which
part
prior
of that
to this did not include a ballpark, taking up a large chunk of it. Am I right, Tom?
Publicly.
The public is where Jeff and I, and Jeff, you can jump in, where Jeff and I trying to inform people who are going to pay taxes and who are going to either come in from Glastonbury and spend a night at the ballpark with the kids or not. The public information is something that we're trying to gather. And so unfortunately, we're gathering it with you now live on the radio as opposed to behind closed doors or behind, with a public document that comes out, a public hearing even that comes out.
Right. And the simple point I was trying to make is that this is within the context of extensive plans, political will and interest, as well as plans to develop the whole area, mm-hmm. right? So that's the context, and we can't forget that context or make believe that the discussion about developing the surrounding area now follows the ballpark, it does not.
And I will add to the council president's comments that we've been marketing this site and we've been trying to get control of this land over the last 18 months. The last 6 months, we've been marketing it heavily. We've been in the New England Real Estate Journal. We've been on real estate radio. We've been promoting it. We've getting developers coming in and talking to us. The announcement of the ballpark has increased the number of developers who have come in and talked to us about wanting to develop.
Sure.
This is all catalytic.
Absolutely, and that makes total sense. Thomas Deller is director of developmental services for the city. Sean Wooden is the city council president. Pedro Segarra is the mayor of Hartford. We're also talking with Jeff Cohen. We're going to get to a few phone calls here quickly. Rex Fowler joins us. He's executive director of the Hartford Community Loan Fund, and we want to talk about something, Jeff, that maybe you can set up a little bit better for us. We've mentioned in this conversation so far about the possibility of a supermarket downtown. It's something that Hartford's been talking about for a very long time. How does the ballpark play into this, Jeff?
So that sort of depends on who you ask, and we'll ask Rex his opinion on how this works. But here, before the stadium idea, there was a parcel of land that was adjacent to the proposed stadium site that was the subject of interest by an operator of a supermarket, a ShopRite, and as of late, a developer who were going to turn that into a supermarket, something that most people would agree would be a good thing in that part of town. The mayor has said it's a priority for his RFP going forward. It's not exactly operationally easy to build a supermarket, although it can be done. But those things, you know, there are boxes with lots of parking, and that isn't necessarily perfect in a downtown area. And then after the ballpark announcement, the supermarket group said that the supermarket would no longer be interested should a ballpark be built. And that's where Rex comes in.
And so, Rex Fowler, thanks for joining us here on Where We Live. Maybe you can pick up the story from there. Where do you think that this leaves the possibility of a downtown supermarket in downtown North?
Yeah, thanks, John, for having me on. And just to clarify, the loan fund is we are not taking a position on the stadium. So I don't want to kind of put this discussion in the context of an either-or. We represented one operator who had an interest in playing a role in implementation of the city's Downtown North plan that Council President Wooden referenced earlier. And if you look at that plan, and it's available on the city's website, the development that was proposed to happen at the intersection of Main and Trumbull, the city plan said that a grocery store will anchor that development. And the location for that store in the plan was identified as the parcel, the city-owned parcel, at 1212 Main Street. So that's the 3.5-acre parcel that we've been in discussions with the mayor and the director of development services about developing with a supermarket as the anchor. The mayor's been very supportive of that, had meetings with our operator, met with our proposed developer, and we felt pretty positive about the financing that we had put in place for that. It would be about anywhere from a $55 to $65 million project. We weren't going to be looking for the city for financing for that. We had interest from the state, but a big component of the financing was going to be coming from the New Markets Tax Credits Program, which this area would be eligible for, this project specifically would be eligible for. That's a way, as Council President was talking about earlier, if you want to bring in leveraging of corporate investment, the New Markets Tax Credits Program is one that we saw as critical for the financing of the supermarket. And when the announcement about the stadium came out, our operator had concerns about the increase in traffic that would be resulting from him being now across the street from this entertainment venue. And our New Markets Tax Credit allocatee, who had the credits they had expressed an interest in putting into this project, said, you know, it's a very competitive program. It's tougher to get approval for these tax credits to go into entertainment districts. And I use that term just because that's a term that the city has used in its own internal marketing documents around the ballpark.
Sure.
They said that it's going to be tough for us to get that $12 to $15 million that we were counting on for financing the project from the New Markets Tax Credits Program.
Okay, so Jeff Cohen, before I go to the mayor here, so it sounds to me, and from what we've heard in this conversation so far, that the mayor, city council president, want to get a supermarket into this area. From what Rex is saying just now, does it seem as though this is more likely, less likely?
Well, so the question is it an either or? Is it a ballpark or a stadium? And in this specific
ballpark
or a supermarket. In this specific instance with this specific operator, it seems like it may be.
Yeah.
Generally in that area, is it an either or? I suppose not. I mean, there are the mayor, I'm sure, or Tom or others will tell you there are ballparks that have supermarkets close by to them. But you know, this is we've been waiting for a long time to see a supermarket operator in this part of the city, right? And if things the game, I guess the argument would be that the ballpark would be the thing that would be the game changer, because heretofore we've not had a whole lot of success. In fact, the market at Hartford 21 didn't even make it a year.
So, Mayor Segarra, maybe you can address some of this. So it seems to me from what you're saying is that you want to build this ballpark, but you want to build it with a supermarket being part of the plan. Rex Fowler says the current supermarket plan that was on the drawing board maybe is jeopardized by the ballpark.
First of all, I want to thank Mr. Fowler for his support and for his commitment to this project, which I totally support. This operator apparently is not interested or because of particular circumstances to that particular operator and developer. It is not advantageous to build it next to a stadium. But I am committed to a supermarket idea, and we have had expressions of interest from other operators that are willing to build in an area such as this one. And as was said, there are other park stadiums that have supermarkets around. So my hope is as we move forward, now that we have a stadium as the accelerator for development in the area, that we will get additional plans from other operators and that we can work together to achieve a supermarket, which is critical.
President Wooden, maybe you can chime in on this. I mean, I just want to get directly from you how you think a supermarket fits into this entire plan, where you think it should fit into this plan for you to say, yeah, this is a good idea.
Well, many of us on the council have been long supportive of the efforts to bring a supermarket to the downtown north area, right? So this is critically important, and we are still committed to doing so. I do not believe having a baseball stadium and a supermarket in the same general area, I don't believe that's mutually exclusive. And I understand that there are some particular circumstances, and Rex and I have talked, and I understand, you know, with respect to this operator, with respect to this operator's financing sources, that there are some particular issues. But I actually think this whole development and the prospect of potential greater development for downtown North, or I know it has increased the interest in supermarket operators coming to that area.
Rex Fowler, before I let you go, just a quick thought on that. Obviously, you want to see this happen. From what you're hearing from officials from the city of Hartford, do you think that this is something that can fit into a ballpark plan?
You know, again, these projects are very challenging. You know, the city of Springfield has been working for the last 3 years. They've invested significant public resources in an effort to bring a supermarket to that city and haven't come up with an operator yet, haven't assembled the land, haven't come up with a developer. So we felt like we had made a lot of progress on behalf of the city. You know, it's a strong economic driver. Supermarkets, anytime, you know, we go to supermarkets in the suburbs, most of us probably realize there's a lot of spinoff that occurs around supermarkets. This one was going to create 30 to 40 full-time jobs, about 250 part-time jobs, and the indirect jobs that get created by supermarkets are in the range of 400 to 500 jobs. And again, these are all year-round jobs that are created as a result of the direct and indirect impact of a supermarket. So we're hopeful that the council and the mayor will prioritize this, whether it's with our operator or someone else. We do think this is a key for the economics of connecting with the north end of Hartford.
Rex Fowler is executive director of the Hartford Community Loan Fund. Thank you so much, Rex, for joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to some more phone calls, some more emails and tweets that you're giving us at Where We Live as we talk with Hartford city officials about a ballpark plan in the north end of Hartford. What do you think? 860-275-7266. This is Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up tomorrow, the reported discovery of Big Bang gravity waves has sparked some controversy within the scientific community, also caused some to look more closely at the way we report on science. A conversation about science journalism. We'll also talk with Patrick Scahill about what he's doing in his blog, The Beaker. He'll tell us the story of a Connecticut bull and why it's considered to be one of the most important farm animals that ever lived. That's a story that you won't want to miss. Today in the program, we're talking about a brand new ballpark in downtown Hartford.
I don't want to be seen as an obstructionist. I don't. But I'm also not Big Daddy Warbucks. So, again, if the Rockettes want this stadium, and I want them to have a stadium, but they can build it. They got plenty of dollars. This sounds almost like crafting the Patriots all over again.
That's Steve Harris, one of the founders of Hartford's African American Alliance, speaking at a press conference last Thursday. We're talking about the possibility of the new Britain Rockettes coming to downtown Hartford. We're talking with Hartford city officials on the program. Tom Deller, who heads development services for the city, is here, along with the city council president, Sean Wooden, and the mayor of the city of Hartford, Pedro Segarra. Let's go to the phones at 860-275-7266. Somebody else who's a member of the council, Larry Deutsch, joins us by phone. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you. We only have seconds, and so I've been trying to say what's important. And the best thing is an anecdote. When I was on a shopping line with an elderly a woman shopping for food and a young cashier, both giving city officials, if they had heard it, a real earful, everything from a small thing like the skyboxes to their taxes to the condition of the schools and the roads. And I think among city officials, we need some ordinary folks to be right up there at the table. That's the kind of representation in public media that we'd all learn from right there at the table. They feel also that when the mayor is no longer mayor, council president is not there, or any of us are not there, they will still be paying under the original arrangement. So I would say that the jobs being discussed need to be good jobs, not just jobs of whatever number. They need to have a living wage, be reliable, good jobs, and also commenting, it's not just a stadium, it's not just downtown North, it's a whole city. It's Enfield Street, Hillside Avenue, Park Street, and all of these need to be represented, I think, with what we're calling community benefits agreements that would involve good jobs and good security, suppose the team leaves. There's so many things to say. The call attention to the public, July 2nd, once again, is a presentation at the library, July 21st, a big public hearing, and most likely for the ordinary people, there'll be a referendum following because...
Oh, I'm sorry, Larry, I didn't mean to cut you off because I wanted to tell people about this Wednesday, July 2nd, 6 p.m., Hartford Public Library. That's on Main Street. There's going to be a conversation about this. Are you going to be attending this, Mayor Segarra?
Absolutely, I'll be there. And you know, Dr. Deutsch, Councilman Deutsch, provides a very important observation. Every year when we get to budget time, we find ourselves trying to figure out what gets cut from the budget because we don't want to increase the tax burden on our taxpayers. And for the last couple of years, council and the mayor's office has been having the conversation about improving and increasing the grant list. How do you spur development in our city that brings in additional tax revenues, that also brings additional jobs so that our people can afford to pay taxes? And I think that this is not incongruent with those plans. People have been talking about there's not that much to do in the city. This seeks to address part of that. People have been addressing the job situation. This development seeks to do some of that, as well as increasing the tax input into our city and grow the grant list. Mr. Harris, who spoke earlier at the meeting, has a very valid point. We should do this. We should take advantage of this opportunity, right, but do it in a way that minimizes any impact on our current taxpayers because it defeats the purpose of building the stadium and not only that, promoting what is downtown North development.
We got an email from Eliana. Will general admission tickets still be $8 at the new stadium? New Britain is already paid for, and attending a game with my family of four is very affordable. Will we be paying for the new stadium with ticket prices that are substantially higher than that?
Look, this is family entertainment. It's meant to be family entertainment. And one of the things that the stadium with the owners and the city have committed to is keeping the ticket prices low. Will they continue to be exactly $8? I don't know. Maybe $9, $9.50. I don't know. But the point is we need to keep – they can't be $100 a ticket or whatever it is in Boston or in New York. It needs to be affordable family entertainment.
Councilman Deutsch mentioned skyboxes. This is a story that came up that the city will own a skybox that you and folks in the city will be able to use.
You know, I read through the agreement. I didn't even see the part of the skybox. I never negotiated a skybox. I'm not interested in a skybox. The whole skybox argument came from the developers, the consultants, and the team that said that having a skybox there affords us the opportunity to and these were conversations that were had with development. I was just a part of these conversations. From an economic development perspective, that it is good to bring people there who are interested in investing in the city, that it's a good thing to give as reward for kids and families that do well in school.
But the city will then have a sky. I just want to make sure the city will have a skybox that they can use at their discretion. I just want to make
whether,
sure.
Whether we have one or not is not a priority for me. I don't care. We have plenty of skyboxes at the XL Center. I've only been...
I was just asking a yes no question whether or not the stadium will include a skybox for the city. It's just we're running low on time. And
if it is or it doesn't, it's not important to me.
Well, I mean, I would say two things. One, you could argue that the residents of the city of Hartford, they'll own it, or at least under the old plan. They should be able to have free hot dogs and popcorn and get in whenever they want with their ID. Secondly, I guess the question I have, John, to wrap up is with this new RFP, I know this isn't just about baseball, but this is play ball April 2016. Does the RFP slow that down?
No.
It does not slow it down. So the plan is to have a ballpark start of the season in April 2016?
Subject to council approval and vetting. Let's be really clear. A new plan has to go through, any plan has to go through the council, and we're going through a process.
And the city council president is Sean Wooden. The mayor is Pedro Segarra. Tom Deller heads development for the city. Jeff Cohn is the pain-in-the-butt reporter from WNPR. This is where we live.